Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. That can be found on page 4 in the Red Pew Bibles. So that's page 4, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God said, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Hugh. Right, for 12 minutes, because we've had a bit of a service, haven't we? It's been a bit of a service, hasn't it? Yeah, you can say yes. No, that's fine. So 12 minutes, here we go. Trust issues. Four things to say. The God trust in this passage that we meet with first. The first humans were created and lived in true freedom. The setup was not full of oppressive rules. If you played golf, you know there are rules by the hundreds and out of bound markers all the way down the course. Those health and safety videos that we've had to watch, and religion itself creating so many written and unwritten laws. But no, here was a human context that had freedom and flourishing and perfect fellowship. The good God said in chapter 2, verse 16, "You are free to eat from every tree in the garden." What a generous command. The equivalent of going to a restaurant and them saying you can eat anything you want for free. There are some restaurants you wouldn't go even if they're offering free. But I'm sure there are some that you would. You can have whatever's on the menu. Yet there was one rule. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on that day you eat from it, you will surely die, 2:17. So why even one rule? Why such a serious rule and with a death threat on it? Because true human freedom needs to be able to express itself relationally in trust. Either I say yes to the person or I say no to the person. It's relational trust. So here is humanity saying to God, "We trust you alone regarding good and evil. We come under your protection, and we thank you for the perfect freedom that you bring." It's not how it's seen today, I know. God trust. It's how we were religion originally made. Notice with me, secondly, the seeds of mistrust. So we read in chapter 3, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree from the garden?" What's going on here? The seeds of mistrust are being sown. The character of God is going to be attacked. He's the cosmic killjoy who doesn't care. He's the really bad control freak who delights in keeping people down and out. He's the one with power and abusing his authority as he does so. The seeds of mistrust are being sown in this garden. And the result of such teaching is that God must never be trusted in life. That's the result of that teaching. And the only saving and sane thing to do is to walk away from God. Our culture or what? The only saving, sane thing to do as a human being, apparently, is to walk away from God. The seeds of self-trust then come. And that's my third point. Not only does humanity turn away from God wrongly, but we turn to trust in ourselves. We can save ourselves. We can fix it. And there are hundreds of ways that self-trust manifests itself in our lives, where we regard ourselves now as a self-salvation project, a do-it-yourself reality. My father always had a saying, and we ducked when he said it. Trust me, Sally. Sally was his wife, still is. And always something ridiculously wrong happened. God says to us, trust me. But it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, to us? He points to creation and says, I'm good to you. He points to the cross and he says, I'm good for you. But we're going to trust in ourselves, because it's ridiculous to trust in God. Give us religion. Give us a moral code. Give us a therapy. Give us the power of positive thinking. Give us a structure for life. Give us self-esteem thinking. Give us music. Give us money. Give us education. We can do this. The seeds of self-trust. Fourthly and finally, Christ trust. God has come down to humanity. God is the God who saves. We've been singing that already today. God is the only one who can rescue us from the sin of self-trust, because we cannot deliver ourselves from death. If you can fix death, you can fix humanity. We are left with the truth of our pathetic power plays, which are just futile. It's like me with my little plastic sword. I had a little plastic sword when I was a kid. Let's pretend this is a plastic sword. I run around defeating all the armies of the world. I was a kid. I thought I could defeat the enemies of the world with a plastic sword. And our power plays are futile with regard to death. So the Son of God came to fight for us. The Son of God died to deliver us from sin and death. The Son of God rose as victor from death to bring us back to God eternally. And so either you trust God afresh through Jesus, or you keep trusting yourself. So Sarah Irving Stonebaker was an Australian PhD student at King's College in Cambridge. She was a deeply committed secular humanist. She thought that Christians were intellectually inferior and just self-righteous. She had a huge self-trust without any question of doubt in regard to all of that. And slowly, though, her thinking changed as she came to understand Christianity that she encountered in Cambridge. And through all of that, she became a follower of the Lord Jesus. She came to Christ trust. Several years later, she wrote this in reflection about all of that. And here's the quote. I think it makes the point this morning. Quote, Christianity was, to my surprise, radical. Far more radical than the leftist ideologies with which I had previously been enamored. The love of God was unlike anything I had expected or of which I could make sense. In becoming fully human in Jesus, God behaved very unlike a God. He walked through death's dark valley. He held the weeping limbs of lepers. Why would you do that if you are God? Why submit to humiliation and death on a cross in order to save those who hate you? Why suffer punishment in our place only because of radical love? The sacrificial love is totally opposed to the individualism and consumerism of our culture. That's all about self-trust, isn't it? And she came to understand there was a radical love that was far greater than that, that brings us to a God trust in trusting his Son. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And we implore you this morning on his behalf, turn away from trusting in yourself, for it cannot deal with death, and trust in the one who can, who died for you on a cross and rose again from the dead. There is a way that seems right to humans, but it ends in death. There is a way that is right for God, and it ends in life. Let us pray. Take a moment, please. We were created for God trust. The seeds of mistrust have come from an enemy who wishes to destroy our life. The seeds of self-trust are deep within our hearts. They cannot deliver us from death. For all the power plays, come to the one who can. Come this morning. Trust in him. His finished work on the cross for you. He died and rose again, the victor. Our Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, we want to thank you for all that this service has proclaimed to us from beginning to end. We thank you, Father, for the new life of Abigail that you have given to Chris and Fiona, along with Edward. Indeed, we repeat that you might oversee that little family, but most of all that you will bring Abigail to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that eventually she will abandon all self-trust and trust only in Christ alone. Thank you for Hannah and all that we've heard through her today. Thank you, Father, for that clear sharing of what you have done in her life and how she's proved you to be the great God that you are. And I pray that you will indeed take her forward, trusting only in Jesus, so that she may follow him all the days of her life and never deny him, that she might follow through in learning what it means to obey Jesus, even when it's difficult to obey Jesus, and that she may know the joy of the Lord filling our heart. I pray for any who today are trusting in themselves in this congregation. I pray that you may have mercy upon them. You might give them an understanding of the folly of that. It's so natural. It's so strong inside us. It's almost going against ourselves to trust in you. But it is. And therefore we can't do this on our own. Holy Spirit, enter into our hearts afresh. Empower us to trust Jesus, to believe that you are good and that you have our good deep in your heart. We look forward to the day of perfect freedom and flourishing and fellowship with you. We thank you that you have not only saved us to forgive us, you have saved us to bring us to the perfection of being human, just like your Son is already perfectly human. Oh Lord, there is a way that seems right to human beings, but it all ends up in the same place, in a graveyard. But there is a way that is right with you, and if we follow your way and trust in you, it leads to life. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.